بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كما تحيون تموتون. As you live, your soul will depart from this world. This is proven, this is an experience. Generally people consider Jannat, good death and good days as a luck. Something like a jackpot. We just get it. If that was the case, there was no need for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to encourage us in the words kama tahyuna tamutun. The fact that he's encouraging us kama tahyuna tamutun, it shows it's not just a lucky packet, it's not just a jackpot. You strive towards that, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. So many a times people are beguiled, they deceive themselves. They say, just carry on, it may just be a jackpot, you may just catch it. See? The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is all encompassing. You work towards the mercy, you strive towards His love, then He will usher you inside. You like the company of the malaika, then the malaika also like your company. You do things that Allah Ta'ala is pleased and it brings about the pleasure of the malaika, then in this life they begin to take a liking for you. Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu used to see an angel every day of his life. Hazrat ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was seated with his father by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had seen Jibreel alayhi salam. So, numerous were the Sahaba ikram that had witnessed Malaika. Here you hear this incident where a person is dying and he's got water through the hands of Jibreel alayhi salam. So this isn't only a thing of the past, it happens presently as well. But that happens in this way, that you work in a way that malaika begin to take a liking for you. Now how do the malaika take a liking for you? Man who keeps a clean heart, a clean mind. Like you say, when there is a dog in a home, then the malaika don't come to that home because of the filth and impurity. So if that impurity is in the heart, then how do you expect the malaika to come to that? This is external impurity, this is inner impurity. So that impurity is within, how the malaika will come. So you keep your heart clean and the malaika will come to you. In the past, people used to be hanged and executed. If they were guilty for crimes, they used to be executed, they used to be hanged. And now it's become an international law that you can't hang anybody, you can't kill anybody. Be it as it may, but in the time that when people were being hanged, then they used to be given their last wish. What are you anxious for? What are you desirous of? Then there would be people prompting him to recite the kalima, recite La ilaha illallah, the shahadatain, before you leave. So if a person was living a life in the disobedience and the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, then he will bluntly and blatantly say that I lived my entire life reciting this kalima, and the kalima didn't do me any good, didn't work for me the entire life, Now how can the kalima work for me now? I've been reciting the kalima and it didn't work for me, it didn't do me any good. It didn't do me good all my life. Now how will the kalima be of any good to me? And he will die in that state without reciting the kalima, in fact refusing to recite the kalima. Then there will be another person who's also prompted to recite the kalima, and he will say, alright, I want to make a bequest to my folks and my friends. Say, he calls them all together and tells them, you see, you don't have to mourn over my death because my time was already decreed. This was the time that was decreed for my death. So when this time was decreed for my death, then I couldn't have escaped this moment. If I wasn't hanged or roped, then I would have died. Not this way, then other way, but I would have died inevitably. So this was inevitable, it had to happen. But I give you some bequest and some advice. One is that don't mourn over my death. Number two, I request that I be hanged after the Jummah, and I be buried with the Muslims. My estate, etc., whatever it is, that must be distributed and winded according to the Sharia. And if you are feeling grieved about my loss, then recite some Quran Sharif, some Zikr, etc., and pass on the sawab for me. And you don't have to mourn too much about my death. Then, when the time of death would approach, he would say, La ilaha illallah, and he says, You be a witness that I have recited the kalima, and that was the last. One of these people that used to witness, in the old days used to have it, that a mullah or someone, a sheikh or someone would be there, whilst the person is being roped. So he'll be prompting him to recite kalima. If it's a Muslim, it's a Christian, then they'll have a priest, or they'll have a padri to do his last funeral services. So this person used to say that I used to see the faces of those people who refuse to recite the kalima. When we prompt them to recite the kalima, they refuse. They don't want to read it. They're Muslim by name, but they don't want to read it. And it used to be so frightening. You can't look at the face. The tongue is lolling out. The eyes are all wide open. It's such a fearful face that you can't see the face. In the meanwhile, that person who read the kalima made tawbah for his wrong and he left in that state, then there would be a smile on the person's face. He's being hanged, but there would be a smile on his face. Distinct, you could see the smile. The whole face would be radiant and you couldn't just get over looking at the face. Look at the face once, then you look at the face second time, and you go on looking at the face. So, kama tahyawna tamutun. It's not a difficult thing. You try for it, Allah will grant it to you. And an easy way is to keep yourself clean. The heart clean and the outer self clean. We are human and we may stumble, we may falter, we may make mistakes. We don't do them deliberately, but in the event we made a mistake, we don't feel at ease until we have cleansed ourselves. It's a mistake of the eye, of the tongue, of the ear. Immediately we come to our senses, in the state and the place that we are, we make istighfar, ask Allah's forgiveness in abundance, until our hearts begin to feel that I have really asked Allah's forgiveness, and inshallah, He has forgiven me. Then we give some charity as well for the sin that we have done. And for the future, we be more cautious in that area. Like it was an area where we had seen something wrong. It was the confines of the office and we have done something wrong there. So for a long period of time, we need to feel a shiver when we in that office environment. Because this was the place where I had got roped into a guna, I got roped into a problem. I can't feel complacent there. Like if you are robbed in a certain place, if you're passing that place, don't you feel a type of a shiver, a type of an uneasiness. This was a place that I was robbed, I was nabbed here, or I was deceived here. So you feel a feeling of uneasiness. You don't feel totally calm and totally relaxed there. So for some time, a believer should feel that this is a place I need to be very careful. I need to be cautious. I don't know what will happen just now. So for the future, you are mindful. For the present, you have asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. You have settled the score. You haven't left it in the abeyance. You haven't left it in the lurch. So this is what Allah Pak likes. So you kept yourself clean. You kept yourself clear. You kept yourself pure. Now if death has to come in that state, then your records are clear. Allah Pak likes the person who comes forward and says, "No, Allah Ta'ala, I have faulted. I do acknowledge. I don't want to make up a story for the wrong that I have done." Even if there is a 1% doubt, when I was studying in India, and I wrote up to Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi that sometimes it's a wrong. We're not totally sure that it's a wrong. We're still doubting in our minds whether it's a wrong, not a wrong. So I explained to him that when I'm in that state where I'm not totally clear that it's a wrong or not a wrong, then I just make istighfar, I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. With that hope and with that in mind, that if it was a guna, it will get washed out. And if it wasn't a guna, that istighfar is not going to get wasted. See? If you are not sure about it, and you come across a situation, so you made istighfar. Not absolutely clear, so you made istighfar. If it was a wrong, then it got wiped out, washed out. If it wasn't a wrong, then it gets into your credit balance. So that istighfar in the tawbah is not wasted at all. Hazrat Rahmatullah liked that approach. He says, why should you be in a doubtful state? Keep your mind clear. If not clear about it, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, clear it up. Clear it up. And for the future, then you find out, or you be cautious and very, very careful for the future. So this is the way a Muslim should be going. He can't be complacent, he can't be calm when he has wronged Allah Ta'ala. He's committed a problem, then he must keep himself in check until he feels now he's cleared it up completely, he's cleared up. Commits a wrong and he remains absolutely complacent. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ. So he kept himself absolutely complacent until the time of death had approached. He still remained like that. So this Allah doesn't like that. That when you have wrong, then at least keep yourself in a state of uneasiness. I need to correct myself. I need to rectify myself. And when you keep yourself like that, then Allah Ta'ala guides you. Allah Ta'ala will like you. And He will lead you forth. So that is provided you keep yourself in a state of uneasiness. But you can't now do a wrong and then keep yourself easy, complacent. See, these cases of depression, etc., there may be many reasons for the depression, despondency and all that. But one reason for the despondency and depression is this as well. That we do the wrong and then we don't think much about the wrong that we have done. We do the wrong again and again and again. So when we continuously do this wrong here, then Allah Ta'ala takes away the calmness of the heart. He takes away the peace of the heart. He takes away that tranquility of the heart. When the tranquility of the heart is taken away, now you're looking for tranquility in artificial things. That artificial thing will give you a little bit of tranquility, an artificial tranquility. It will just be an imagination of tranquility, like a sleeping tablet. It just makes you unconscious for that moment. You're unconscious. You don't realize that you really didn't sleep. You didn't get the total calmness. You just went unconscious. So you're going for something that is artificial. Now when that thing wears out, it wears out, then that anxiety and that uneasiness will be even more greater. So you can't fool yourself, you can't beguile yourself, you can't deceive yourself. Simple way, why don't we adopt the simple way, go into sajda, cry to Allah Ta'ala. If there isn't the occasion that you can make sajda, for example, you are driving, or you in your shop and you can't make sajda, then at least cry. You can't cry in front of people, then at least cry in your heart. Allah Pak, I have wronged. Allah Pak, you do forgive me. And ask that several times. If you are going to the masjid afterwards, then in the masjid at least sit one corner and cry to Allah Ta'ala. So as the wrong is coming, you are washing it out. The wrong is coming and you're washing it out. The wrong is coming and you're washing it out. You're not allowing it to accumulate. See, like when you got a constipation, then the right thing is to flush it out. As soon as possible to flush it out. But if you will allow it to accumulate for a month, 2 months, and you're allowing it to accumulate, what's going to happen? It's going to create some type of a complication for you. The filth is going to accumulate. Perhaps some other complications can come up in you. The poison, whatever else, will spread out through the body, creating other complications. Then it becomes untreatable. So the right thing is, when you're seeing that you're going in that, now you treat yourself straight away. 1-2 days, 3 days, and you find yourself tight, you can't relieve yourself, constipated. Then you took some purgative or something and you cleared yourself. You don't wait for that long period and then clear yourself. But as it comes and you clean yourself. As it comes and you clean yourself. So it's simple procedures, simple basic procedures. Just that we want complicated things. When you find simple procedures, we don't want to adopt. When you find complicated things, then you want to adopt it. We become like the Bani Israel. Allah told them, slaughter one cow, finish. Then ma lawnuha, ma hiya, what it is, what color, this thing. That's the Bani Israel style. That's not our style. Our style, Allah said, just do it. Make tawbah, come to me, cry. Come and cry to me. I will forgive you. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. All, I'll wipe everything out. I'll demolish all the mountains of sins. But come to me. So he tells you repeatedly, you come to me, I'll forgive you. I'll wipe you out. I'll open ways for you. But you come to me sincerely and you see how I will answer your duas. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.